Hi, I'm Lorraine Dunn, and this session is about how to overcome exclusion in the fitness industry when you turn 50, when you hit 50. So this session will set the scene, what it's like out there. I'll talk a bit about my journey and hopefully pass on strategies and tips to overcome the experience of being excluded within the industry. Briefly, I want to talk about the vowels A, E, I, O, U. So A is for attitude, A is for aging, A is for ageism within our industry. We only have to look at the ratio of classes and compare them to the ratio of the population group of being over 50, over 60. Looking at the attitude of centres and instructors when they're dealing with an older population group, it's quite interesting when you're actually within that scenario and also observing it. Is for exclusion, both within the industry as you get to reach your use by date. What would a 50 plus year old know and be able to teach a 20 year old, a 30 year old, and a 40 year old? Well, the good news is lots. The bad news is how to do it. I used to teach the senior module for network, at the Institute, and there are a lot of young, gorgeous things going through their fitness leader and accreditation. They were all bright-eyed, bushy-tailed, and then you had the back row of the gold chains and the buffs, and they just were not interested in anything that I had to say. They didn't look, they didn't like my appearance, they didn't like anything about me. So my challenge was to actually deal with that and cope with that as well. So can be quite big, can be quite daunting. I is for image. Our industry is based on an image focus. Tight buns, big guns, six pack, flat abs, great legs. I is also inclusion. So you, do you include everyone, or do you have a criteria and a judgment that automatically excludes clients? I must put my hand up. I used to be very judgmental. If I saw an obese person, straight away, judgment, sedentary lifestyle, poor diet, lazy, da-da-da-da-da. But there's so many other factors involved, stress, lack of sleep, and there's so much more information out there. So I'm glad that I no longer have that very poor quality of judgment. O is for older and for out, O-U-T. I think there's a TV program about that, out. But if you don't fit the bill, you are out. Fit older people, yes, they're welcome. But if you're not in that category, don't bother coming here or don't bother working in the industry. And you is for you and your journey within this fabulous career path. You is about where you sit in the industry. It's about your inclusiveness in your thoughts, in your attitude, and in your actions. So now a little bit about me. I actually started late. I was a serious runner, or so I believed. I used to run 100 plus K a week. I used to do marathons, endurance swimming, triathlons. I was the super wife. I was the super mother. I managed a medical surgery. I had a running coach. My kids were bathed. Dinner was prepared. My physical activities never interfered with the family. Everything was done by the time my husband came home at night, and then, you know, if it suited, I would go and train. Sometimes I would run at 10 o'clock at night or 4 o'clock in the morning, depending on my shift working coach and also my family and my work commitments. So my great love of running came from developing an appreciation of the wonderful human body that we all have. We all have this amazing body. It wasn't me personally that was running, it was the body. I had the mindset to drive the body, to get enough rest, to get enough sleep, to program it well. But it was the body and human life that was doing it, not me personally. But I was so grateful for the experience and for the joy of running. It just gave me so much joy. I was hitting 40. I'd done 3 marathons within the year. I had just completed a swim, 3.2 kilometres competitive swim across Lake Macquarie. I had my triathlons thrown in just for training measures. And my kids got German measles. I got German measles. My immune system was depleted from all the physicalities that I'd been up to. And as a 40-year-old adult, I was hit really hard. My world was just changed. And I thought, what will I do? What can I do? What can I do that will keep me fit and injury-free so that I can maintain this for if I can ever get back to running? I know, I'll teach exercise to seniors and I'll teach acrobics. Where they came from, I have no idea. I'd never been to a gym. In 84, 85, 86, aqua classes were few and far between. Didn't stop me though. I got trained up as a fitness leader. I did a 3-day sport and rec course and I was ready to go. I could see myself as a perceived expert because I'd done the 3-day course and I came from a physical background. The funny part was, I absolutely loved it. And then I applied myself to my new career with all the passion, with all the energy that I'd applied to running. My career choice was not mainstream aerobics. I was choosing two fields within the industry that were the poor relations, the veggie aerobics. I didn't realize at the time that in a way I was choosing exclusion by way of unpopular fields of exercise in Australia. And I was 40 plus. I was actually doing myself a favor because that was my baseline starting point. So today, aquatic exercise and older adult exercise are now credibly recognized and they've claimed their rightful place in our industry. Woohoo! Which is great. But I love my new career path. I immersed myself in learning everything I could about this new love. Every day, every class, every learning opportunity filled me with excitement, with passion, with curiosity, with joy, with wonder. Lucky for me, I didn't know what I didn't know. So I started presenting nationally in the aquatic fitness industry at age 46. And at the time, all the presenters, they came together for a big masterclass at the end. It was so good. The energy was fabulous. The excitement. We could fit 90 instructors in the pool. There were 19 presenters strutting their stuff. And already I understood I couldn't compete with those plyometric split jumps where you touch your toes straight off a cement floor. I couldn't compete with those instructors. And I really stressed over what I could do. So I chose to do the cool down. I chose to actually do a comedy cool down. And I did something really sort of stupid to the music of Funiculi, Funicular Opera. I came out dressed in a little cat suit, swimmers, and I had little underpants on, you know, the little slinky boxer shorts with Felix the cat on it. And there was this stunned silence as I started. And I was so nervous, my knees were knocking together. But anyway, they thought that was part of the act. But then JSP, or Jenny Shimbri-Portelli, she'd done her bit and she was in the pool and she got it. And her big booming voice went ho, ho, ho across the water like a megaphone and everyone got it. And I earned the reputation of being and doing Harry the Goose cool downs. But, you know, that was one of the ways that I learned to actually contribute within what I could do. I'd come into the industry from an athletic background rather than an exercise background. Mine was about moving rather than actually about different joints and angles, etc. So I had to learn to perform exercise and then how to actually teach it. And in those days, I really agonized over my form and my position. But however, both seniors and water are more forgiving environments. But psychologically, this actually held me back. I had to get over it, actually. Also, my friends in the fitness industry, and they actually became my fitness family, were at least 15 plus years younger than me. I never felt older than them physically because I stayed strong and fit. And in your 40s and your 50s, it's fine. But it does catch up with you a little bit in your 60s and 70s. When you're hitting 60 and they're in their 45s, and when you're hitting 70 and they're only hitting 55, you're still hitting your straps at 55. Because of my background, I went through menopause really early at 42 and I had no issues. I was actually even a little bit sad. However, with menopause, I didn't realize that losing confidence could be an issue. So for me, the big factor was facing and dealing with that lack of confidence. So my demons at that time were hormonal, lack of confidence, lack of exercise background, and being the old chick on the block. So you got to do a lot of soul searching. You think, how can I fix this so I can get on with the job of doing what I love? I love presenting. I love teaching the aqua module. I love doing workshops all over Australia. But how can I, if I can't get over what's going on in my head? So it really started with me and what I'd set up in my head. So I had to let go of age. I had to let go of my age and everybody else's. I had to not let it be an issue of importance. I decided I had to learn to believe in myself. I had to learn to have confidence in my knowing, and I had to value myself. I knew that if I didn't, no one else would. So to get in the good headspace and to deal with your fears, what do you do and how do you do it? So you look at what your fears are, and are they realistic or are they based on the what ifs? What's the worst scenario? What can go wrong? What if you muff your lines? Will people remember in 10 years? No. What will happen if you don't perform perfectly or to your own expectations? So you have to think, would I treat my own best friend like this? No, you wouldn't. You'd be kind to them. You'd teach them, you would treat them with kid gloves. So if this is you, get your headspace right. There's a lot more information out there now. Look what you do well. Focus on that. Focus on your strengths. Focus on what you bring to the party. Focus on your point of difference. Welcome competition. Welcome that is keeping you on your toes. Like doing the Harry the Goose cool downs was my point of difference. I couldn't compete with a 25 or 50-year-old who's come from, a gymnastics background, who've got the training and they've mastered the art. I can't compete with that. So I came in with humor. So I thought, okay, well, let me find out about humor. I studied, I did research on having fun, on humor, on the scientific benefits, all of that. So then you actually develop that because it can be credible. And so it gives you something credible to go to move from. As well as that, you have to look after yourself. In this industry, it is so demanding. Fitness industry, when you're lecturing, when you're presenting, they take no prisoners. So get the maintenance, get the massage, get the rest, relaxation, and play. Be the best version of you. You can't work to your best potential taking shortcuts. Good nutrition, good lifestyle, good support systems. You need to surround yourself in that. And it takes a little while because you need to work out what you want to do, who you want to have around you, and how you want to be. Plus, you've got all the other demands of living your normal life with your family, with your friends, with your community. So, building your own support systems, you need to find friends who are like-minded, who think similarly to you, but bring out the best in you. You don't want yes people around you. You want people, excuse me, who bring out the best in you, who uplift you. Oh, excuse me. You want friends that really will be honest and tell you the way it is, in a way that you can move forward and learn and improve. You don't want people who are critical and criticize and judging for that will bring you down. You want people who can help you move forward, but be honest enough, and you have to have that great relationship of trust with people like that in your inner circle. Keeping learning and keeping up to date. Our industry is amazing. So many learning opportunities. I have been able to learn, and I love learning so much. Keeping up to date with everything. It changes so much, goes around in circles, and then you're back to where you started. But maintain your credibility and maintain your professionalism. Study and learning keeps you confident in what you know and it keeps you on top of your game. Mentoring gives you a way to give back. So mentoring in a way that suits you and fits with you. It's a great way. And you always learn from the mentoring. Other people give you so much. Really importantly, walk your talk. And things happen. I mean, just look at our year this year. It's been a tough year. Excuse me. Walk your talk, excuse me. If you're not walking your talk, why not? Trying to walk your talk or being placed that you can walk your talk helps you stay in the best place and focus on wellness. We need to be promoting health and wellness right across the board. We can and we do become a bit jet lagged from time to time. We can burn out, and it can be hard to be always bright-eyed and bushy-tailed when someone in your life has just died and you've got to get out there and deal with the people that expect you to be great at all. Well, they don't expect you to be great. That's the wrong choice of words. But they're very forgiving and they support you and they feel for you. But if we're professional in this industry, we always want to be the best that we can be. And most of us, for most of the time, we do power through. You know, and be prepared for the unexpected and the surprises as well. Lovely surprises come your way. And I just remembered one. I was one of the things I learned, I became a masseur, and I became the trainer masseur for my son's soccer team. And we'd had a really wet season, so I was always expounding aquatic exercise and training and team sport, etc., etc. And after one match, you know, everyone's in the pub afterwards, and I was expanding the benefits of aqua training to the captain coach of the other team. And, you know, he was probably 20 years younger. His eyes were looking over my head, looking around the room all the time. And I was thinking, oh, what a waste of time this conversation is. So I sort of, we went our ways. And then halfway through the week, I got a call from him wanting to train their team. I don't think he was listening at all. And I did. I was a female, over 50 at the time. I was old enough to be their mother. And I was smart enough to know that I only had two chances. Now and too late. Oops. Excuse me, 1 minute. I'm not very... video friendly, so I've lost my place. So two chances, now and too late. So if you're ever training teams and you're concerned about being a female and a lot older, or being a male and a lot older, a brief warm up and hit it. So we went straight into 20 to 30 plyometrics. You really focus on posture, you focus on form, and you do 20 plyometrics where you push off flat-footed from the bottom and just have your hands resting on the water. So the laughing stops, they're getting a little bit breathless and a little bit serious. So they did 20 to 30 of those. So they're working a little bit at the degree of difficulty. Next thing, your arms are up in the air and you still have that straight, erect, strong form, and you have to bring your knees up to the water's edge and you have to do your 20 to 30 plyometrics. It's getting a bit tough. They are quite silent now, but they love working. So, you know, you just rubbish them. You rubbish their coach. They love that. And away you go, and you're in the water with them, and you are making it look so easy. You know how to pace yourself. You've got your form, and you, where you are, cool as cucumber. So they're, you know, working quite hard now, and then you add the next degree of difficulty, and your arms start flinging up in the air as you jump, and your knees come to the water level or up out. You are looking great. You have form fabulous, and they are all taking notice now. And you just keep rolling out little exercises like that with a degree of difficulty. Add it, add it, add it. And they were impressed, I think. But they won their match the next week. So I trained them the week after in the water, and they won that match. And they won it for the next 4 weeks in a row, and I trained them for the next 4 weeks in a row, and they won the grand final. So it came out of nowhere. I didn't really think I had a chance but it was a great story for me. So exclusions can be within our industry and our working environment, and learning to deal with them may or may not be a challenge. I know we can't always be liked by everyone, but as long as we're credible, as long as we're ethical, as long as we're coming from the right spot, you just move on. And sometimes I have someone in your class and, you know, they don't really like you. Sometimes I use it as a bit of a red rag, a bit of a catalyst to make me determined to be the best that I can be and to deliver. So I use that for me. Ageism is a huge issue across the board, and there is more awareness of it now, but it's still there. It's still surrounded in a cloud of negative myth, and it's disempowering and it's destructive. And if you're an older person and you're caught up in the ageist society, you think that you're not worth it. You think that you can't do things. So getting old is fabulous. It's not for the faint-hearted. You still can have great sex, great times, great everything. I wake up every morning and I say, thank you, thank you, thank you. I love being the age that I am. Coming to terms with changes such as wrinkles can be daunting, but you have to do it. What are your choices? You can't beat nature. Get over yourself. Look after your mind. Look after your body. Look after your soul. They deserve that. They have so served you so well. Put things into perspective. You know, we are in a great industry. We're in a privileged life. So don't waste too much time and too much energy on something that you can't change. You can't change the double chin. You can't change the wrinkles. We may not realize that our point of difference may be our strength, and exclusion may lead to being uniquely exclusive. But it's been a journey. It is a journey. And what a ride. Be inclusive. Be accepting. Get rid of judgment. Be accessible. You only get one shot. So learn the skills that will attract people, especially the ones that need better health and wellness. Have friends right across the board, younger, older, fitter, well, not so well, not so fit, not so well off, well off. Walk your talk. Be a role model. Be the person you want to be and other people want to be when they get to your age. Be the master of your trade. So people with disabilities and age people continue to be some of the most excluded groups in Australia. So if you're passionate about improving the health and well-being for the whole community, I hope that this will help you, empower you to create change. Go well, my friends. Thank you for today. Thank you, Mel. And just keep doing great things. Bye.